Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org. Good morning. For Every Day is Earth Day, we are going to look at the question, have you ever woken up in the morning and wondered what you could do for the planet? Of course, it was recently Earth Day, and we talked about some different things you can do. There is an author who draws from her experience. She's been a geologist, an environmental attorney. She's been a small business owner, a spiritual practitioner, a wife, a mother, and she has written a book that is called Love Earth Now, The Power of Doing One Thing Every Day. Her name is Cheryl Luchin. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. You have done all sorts of things, so I thought it was interesting that you were an author. But before that, it says geologist, attorney, small business owner, and more. So tell us a little bit about how we get to writing a book about saving the earth from that background.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey. I guess it started back in the energy crisis of the 80s. I took all of that in at the time. I was a youngster, and I remember taping my light switches in the off position because I felt like I had to do something, and it was the only thing I knew how to do, and my parents were not pleased about that. So I went on to explore ways that I could do something. I studied geology, and I worked as a geologist for a while, and went on to environmental law, always looking for a way to get at the solutions, and always finding that there are no perfect solutions. But it was really after I had children that I realized I really got to figure this out. I have to think about what's going to happen with the planet beyond the scope of my own lifetime.
Could you explain what you did as a geologist? I was just curious how that worked into all this.
Well, my work as a geologist wasn't necessarily related to environmentalism. I worked as a geologist to pay the bills for an engineering firm.
Okay, but then did that spark some more interest in knowing what the earth is all about that you thought, maybe I can do more with this?
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, I got interested in geology because I had this fantastic professor at Stevens College in Columbia, Missouri, who really told the stories of rocks, and that's what got me fascinated, was being able to look at a rock outcrop and see it as a story as opposed to just, you know, dull gray limestone. And so that's what intrigued me, but I realized working as a geologist wasn't really getting me towards solutions. So that's when I decided to go to law school, of all things. At the time, that was the furthest from my mind.
So when you did environmental law then, did that have much of an influence? Was there any case or anything that prompted you to be excited and want to one day be an author about this?
I worked in environmental law compliance.
Oh, okay.
I worked at a law firm for a couple of years, but I worked several years for Texaco, of all places, thinking I can make more change from working on the inside than the outside, maybe. And I felt that was helpful and productive. And then that job went away, Texaco went away. And I was at that point home with two kids thinking, what else am I going to do? And that's when I started writing, because if nothing else, a parent of young children needs an outlet for, you know, venting some things. I just started writing as a journal, really, and as therapy.
So this new book that you've written, it's an award-winning book of planetary self-help, is how it's described, and it's called Love Earth Now, The Power of Doing One Thing Every Day. So what inspired you to write this?
Well, again, just my frustration with not finding real practical solutions to the questions I had about what can we do to make a difference. And I also started on a spiritual practitioner sort of journey. So I started thinking about it from a more, you know, thoughtful place as opposed to just science and laws, and doing some reflective work. And I came to realize that there is no one-size-fits-all solution or contribution that we can make. I mean, we are our own unique individuals. We have our own skills, abilities, interests, time, money, resources. So reducing us all to, you know, light bulb changers. Everyone should change their light bulbs and get on with your day kind of thing really limits the scope of what we all bring to our planetary experience. And I wanted to explore how can I, for myself, and encourage other people to sit down and think about what we're doing, what we can do to make a difference as an individual experience and not just what some top 10 list tells us we ought to be doing.
In one of your blogs, you also have a blog, you write about the feelings of being overwhelmed and negativity about all the things happening on the earth today and maybe just not even knowing what to do. So come to a point of despair. And so how do you go beyond that? What do you tell people?
That honestly is my biggest challenge, is overcoming the despair of, you know, looking at what we've done. If you read the environmental news on a daily basis, it can be very discouraging,
yes,
to say the least. And feeling like, leaves me feeling like, well, gosh, there isn't anything I can do to make a difference. If picking up trash when I'm out on my walk, what difference does that matter? And then from that perspective, I get depressed and then I don't have the energy to do anything. And that's not serving me, not serving the earth. So I started, again, leaning into more meditative experiences and also making a conscious decision to limit just how much news I take in. I want to be informed, and I have to limit how much I take in on a daily basis, and I have to lean into my, you know, doing the things that make me feel more peaceful, because it's only from that kind of place that I have the bandwidth, the energy, the motivation to get up and do anything.
So how do you direct people to do basically what you've done, is to take that energy and put it in a, I guess, a productive manner that something good results?
Well, I say, you know, look at what supports and sustains you already and be sure you're doing a lot of that, because, you know, our busy lifestyles, it feels so compelling that we have to constantly be producing, we have to constantly be doing and working and cleaning the house and taking care of the family, you know, just busy, busy, busy. And so for each of us to consider, you know, what makes me feel good. I always encourage, of course, more time in nature. I think that's good for all of us. And it also may be, you know, journaling, meditating, yoga, gardening, you know, all the things that are more restorative. Be sure we're including and allowing the time for those things. But also in my book, which is a collection of my own stories of struggling to figure out what to do to make a difference without taking on too much that I feel overwhelmed, at the end of each chapter, I include what I call a Love Earth invitation, where there is a specific little reflective exercise for the reader to invites the reader to take a few moments and consider, you know, okay, she had this crazy experience, but what does it mean to me? What does this issue mean to me? What are my feelings about it? And because I think it's important to focus on what's really meaningful to us when we consider, what am I going to do to make a difference for the environment?
You know, one of the things I've been doing, as I mentioned to you earlier, was doing this Every Day is Earth Day program for 3 years now. And there are times when I cover all these many things that I do get some despair, because it seems so overwhelming. And, you know, there are solutions, but they seem so far away. And in your book, you talk about practicing healthier ways to process the news of things like extinctions and the changing climate and environmental devastation in the world. Give me some healthy ways that maybe will help me, because like I said, every week I do this and sometimes I feel hopeful and there's other times that I just think, wow, this is just too much.
Well, again, I go back to, you know, examining what is is restorative for you, whether it be walking or journaling or spending time in nature. But also, here's something I remind myself. There's 7 billion people on this planet. We all come here with our own calls to action. And so when I read about the things that I personally just can't do anything about, I take a moment and I remember that there are people who are called to this planet who are in a position to do something about it, are doing something about it. And I thank them. I think of them, I bless them, I honor them, I thank them. And and surrender this thing I can't do anything about to the people who can, and give thanks for them. And I think that's a really important thing, because I know for myself, it's easy to feel like I have to be doing something about everything. And that's just not realistic, whether it's problems with the planet or any other kind of problems. I'm not the only one here. And so I'm grateful for the other people in the world who are showing up and taking care of what they came here to take care of.
How do you share this with your children? You mentioned you had children that they will embody this value of loving the earth.
Well, I learned early on that modeling behavior is far more effective than lecturing.
Sure. So
they see me doing the things. They see me sorting out things that I can reuse as opposed to just tossing the trash. They see me taking the food scraps out to our compost pile and doing the things that are meaningful to me. And I think that's as much an education as, you know, lecturing about. And also, at one point, I remember talking to my son about some of these issues, and he was at middle school at the time, and he said, "Mom, I already know. We talk about it at school, and we're already depressed."
Oh.
So, yeah, I know. That really struck me. And so now I emphasize the things that I do and I can do, as opposed to, "Don't you know that X, Y, and Z is happening in the world, and that's why you shouldn't be doing that?" And I hear more and more about how young people are depressed about the state of the planet that they are inheriting. And so I really try to focus on the positives and showing them what's important to me and encouraging them to do what is important to them.
Do you still put tape on your light switches? I want to know.
No, but I am that one that walks around the house and turns off lights where there's no one in the room with a big sigh.
Oh, I've told you many times, children, but, right?
Yeah.
Because the subtitle for your book, Love Earth Now, is The Power of Doing One Thing Every Day. Can you give some examples of that one thing?
Well, and first of all, I want to say I said that because I wanted to focus on taking bite-sized chunks of it, because it seems like, you know, only big things are going to matter. Only when I have solar panels, only when I have the money for a gray water system or something. It's going to take a big thing to make a difference. And then we're just, I call it postponing peace, because I'll feel better when I can do this. And, you know, that's putting it off to someday. So if I'm doing small things every day, I feel like I'm doing what I can right here and right now. And that's important to my emotional well-being. So I don't think it matters as much what we do every day. It's more of setting the intention that I'm going to do what I can right here and right now and not make it a bigger problem for someday.
Cheryl, what do you hope will be the everlasting thoughts for the readers who finish your book?
I hope that, like my son in middle school, I hope that, you know, to leave people in a place, a more hopeful place, with a feeling that, yes, I have something to give that's going to matter, as opposed to the problems are too big and this little thing that I can do is pointless.
Now, you are out in Los Angeles. How have you felt from moving? You mentioned you were in Kansas and now you're in Los Angeles. To a lot, I would think, maybe I'm wrong, I'm in Minnesota, but to a lot more pollution and things out there. Was that a big shock to you?
Yes and no. First of all, I have to say I am from Kansas City, Missouri. And first of all, sure, the smog was, you know, was unpleasant, to say the least. I don't enjoy that. But I also was pleasantly surprised to realize, you know, with the different climate means more days outside available. At least for me. I know I've been to Minnesota in the winter and people are still outdoors all winter,
yes,
being very active. I admire that. But let me say, for me, I'm not a snow person. So, but there, I appreciate that there's a bigger awareness of hiking culture and importance of taking care of our trails and, you know, our mountain lions. And I was just out at an event celebrating the construction of a new wildlife overpass over a major freeway. So that will help preserve the diversity of local wildlife, and that's really important. And in a way, I've learned a lot more about living in the company and sharing the planet with wildlife since being here than I did in very suburban Kansas City.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have think that, but I suppose because you're having to share more.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I'm in an area adjacent to mountains and hills, and we have regular visits by coyotes and skunks and possums and all kinds of critters that, you know, just I would not have thought congruous with, you know, densely urban living.
Is there anything else you'd like people to know?
Well, I am available for conversations if people want to know more. I think that it's really important that we connect with each other now more than ever. Even though I condone, you know, thinking for yourself and making a personal plan, I think it's also good to be in conversation. And so I'm available. I'd love to chat.
How do people get a hold of you?
The easiest way is my website, loveearthnow.us. I also have CherylLugin.com, but it's not as easy to spell.
Right, right.
Well, and I'm on Instagram at loveearthnow also.
Well, I want to thank you for spending the time with us as we've just celebrated Earth Day, Earth Week, Earth Month here in Minnesota, and appreciate your efforts to spread the word about doing one thing every day.
I appreciate you having me on, having this conversation.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA, more at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org.